I could comprehend it and explain it to you so that you could comprehend it. I could speak of the Lord's Supper or communion, and I could speak about it so that I could understand it fully, and you could understand it fully. I could speak of the doctrine of the coming of our Lord, and I can comprehend it, and I could teach it to you so you could comprehend it. But nobody, says the apostle to the Ephesian people, can comprehend the love of God. There's no way to understand its breadth. There's no way to understand its height. There's no way to understand its depth. There's no way to understand and to comprehend the love of God. No coffer can contain the jewel of the love of God. No mind can comprehend the magnitude of the love of God. No pen can aptly and properly write to describe the love of God. There are two things that I sometimes shrink from preaching. One is the person of Christ, and the other is the love of God, because I cannot comprehend either. This morning I come to remind you, as I have the last four Sunday mornings, that you are the object of divine love. No greater news will ever be told. No greater fact will ever be known. No greater truth will ever be comprehended than the truth and the fact and the news that God loves you. It dazzles and baffles the mind of the scholar as well as the mind of the illiterate. It amazes the profound as well as it amazes the simple. The love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? We have talked already about the wonderful fact that He loves us. We have reminded ourselves of how He loves us. We have talked about why He loves us. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, how long will He love us? Paul dares the universe to separate him from the love of God. Romans 8:35 and following are verses of dare. The Apostle Paul looks at the universe and says, I dare you to separate me from the love of God. I sat this week with a couple, and he looked at her in my presence and said, I don't love you anymore. You've destroyed my love. And after they left, I got on my knees beside my desk and said, thank you, God. You will never tell me that. How long? Paul looks up and defies infinity and says, I dare you to separate me from the love of God. He summons all the powers that be and rejoices in their impotence to dissolve that sacred tie that binds him to his Lord. He beckons life to step forward and dares life to sever him from the love of God. Life may sever you from your job, and it has, many of you. Life may sever you from the house that you purchased and that you call a home, where you'd plan to rear your family and live until you leave this earth. And many of you are having to sell your homes, or you'll have to let them be repossessed. And life may sever you from that house. And life may sever you from that one that's dear to you. You may have to look at a chair where he once sat at the table. You may have to look at a crib where she once said, I love you, mommy, from the crib that's now empty. You may have to look at a bronze shoe on the mantle. Life can separate you from the dearest of life. And life can separate you from your ability. A man last night in my office wept because he cannot provide for his family. And I said to him, I guess the hardest thing that a man can face is not being able to provide. And life can sever you from that. But Paul looks up and says, life, you may sever me from everything I own, my riches, my houses, my lands, my friends, and my loved ones. But life, he said, I dare you to separate me from the love of Christ. He calls death before him and defies death. Life, you can't separate me from the love of God. And death, neither can you separate me from the love of God. Death, you can close these eyes. And death, you can silence this voice. And death, you can still this tongue. And death, you can deafen these ears. And death, you can fold these arms. And death, you can stiffen this body. But death, you cannot separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. The apostle then, after, he summons life and dares life to separate him from God's love. And he dares death to likewise attempt to separate him from God's love. The apostle Paul, with a swagger, I think, in his walk, and a self-confidence, and even a cockiness in his heart, he says, I summon now the powers of this world and those of every other world, and I pronounce you helpless to pry loose the amazing love of God from me. Paul knew that the devil is a prince of the power of the air, so he just looked up in the air and said, not a one of you principalities can sever me from God's love. Looked up in the air and said, not a one of you powers can sever me from the love of God. The devil's the god of this world. But he said, old devil, I don't care who you are. You cannot separate me. You may separate me from my health. You may separate me from my possessions. You may separate me from my loved ones. But he said, you cannot separate me from the love of God. I say this morning, throw back your shoulders. Stick out your chest. Lift up your voice and say, it's wonderful that God loves me. And it's wonderful why God loves me. And it's wonderful the truth of the purpose of that God loves me. But it is infinitely wonderful of how long He'll love me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He then calls all things present and all things future. He says, whatever may come with the pageantry of the ages cannot split or affect the love that God has for me. Now, the future can change most everything, but the future will not change. Listen, you can count on it. It may be that next Sunday morning I won't be in this pulpit. It may be between now and next Sunday morning that an accident or a heart attack or something may take me from this pulpit. And you cannot be sure that I'll be here next Sunday morning. And you cannot be sure you'll be here. But there's one thing, there's one check you can cash that'll never bounce. And that check says paid to the order of every man and woman in the universe. And the amount is the love of God Almighty. And you never have one to bounce. You never have one to turn for insufficient funds. There never will be a time when God will cease to love you and to love me. The Apostle Paul called all things present. He says there's not everything. He said everything in this world, step up here. All the present, step up here. He said you can't separate me from God's love. Looks out the future, said, old future, I don't know what you hold, but I know one thing you can't mar. You might mar my health. You might break my dreams. You might destroy my air kessels. You might shatter my hopes. But hey, old future, there's one thing you can't touch, and that is the fact that God loves me. Oh, let me tell you, God's people ought to lift up holy hands today and say, hallelujah, thank God. Not only does God love me, but God always will love me, just like He loves me now. And then God points to the sky and challenges in it. Paul does. You know, Paul, this is a cocky verse. Self-confident verse. Paul, he points to the sky. And he said, don't know what's up there. I see stars at night, and I'm not sure that those worlds up there are inhabited or not. But just in case you're up there on Mars, you Mars people, you can't sever me from God's love.
in case you're up there inhabiting Jupiter, in case you're up there on the moon, you can't separate me from God's love. The Apostle Paul looks at the future and says, you can't do it. He looks at the present and says, you can't do it. He looks at the at death and says, you can't do it. He looks at life and says, you can't do it. He looks at the sky and he says, you can't do it either. And then he gazes into the depths and dares hell itself to mar this amazing love. The devil has some power, but blessed be God, the devil and all his imps cannot take 1 ounce of the love of God from the vial of God's love for me. God's love never changes. Now, so happens. Sometimes earthly people, earthly friends may prove untrue. But there's still one that cares for you. Jesus never fails. Not only will he always love you, but he will love you with the same love he has today. That same marvelous, matchless, indescribable love will always be yours. You'll always be the object of this amazing, indescribable love of God, unable for mental mind to comprehend, unable for man to understand, unable for creatures on this earth to ever, ever fully understand. But God loves you, and God always will love you. And then he gives his challenges the demon world. And even the angels, along with principalities and powers, and says, all you demons in hell can't separate me from the love of God. He then looks to all creation and renders them as paralyzed in their attempt to separate him from the love of God. He then ponders to see if he has omitted anything. He said, now, if I've forgotten anything, if I've forgotten any creature, he can't do it either. And if I've forgotten any place, that can't do it either. If I've forgotten any circumstance, that can't do it either. If I've forgotten anything, that can't do it either. I love the story of John Bunyan. When Queen Elizabeth came to the throne of England, she liberated a number of people who were awaiting martyrdom under Queen Mary. And what death could not do to quench the fervor of these people that were delivered from martyrdom, life did, and soon many drifted from the closeness they had to God. And these people that once had been willing to die for God, they were not even willing now to live for God. And among those people was a man named John Bunyan. John Bunyan was sentenced to die. And the coming of the new queen gave him freedom from martyrdom. But his heart grew cold. And one day John Bunyan went to hear a sermon on this text. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And as he heard the sermon, he could not contain himself. And on the way home, he got so thrilled. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And there's no place and no creature able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And John Bunyan, on the way home, couldn't wait till he got home. He stopped and saw the birds in the field, and he gathered sat down as the birds gathered around him, and he said, birds, I got some good news to tell you. He said, God loves me, and he always will. He went out and got the old horse on the plow, and he said, hey, old horse, I got some good news to tell you. He said, God loves me, and he always will. And he gathered the animals all he could together, and he gathered the chickens and everything he could get that had breath, and he said, hey, I've got some good news for you. God loves me and he always will. And I've got some good news for you. God loves you and he always will. You say, preacher, I am. I've been to the bottom of sin. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you say, preacher, I've rustled unholy skirts and bawdy houses. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I rejoice this morning that God loves me. And I rejoice that that love will never end. He'll never say, my love has grown cold. He'll never say, I don't feel towards you like I used to. He'll never say, you've taken all my love away and you've drained all my love. He'll never say that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how deep in sin you've gone. It doesn't matter how wicked your life. It doesn't matter how far from God. God loves you. And God always will love you. One of the sweetest stories concerning this verse. Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom was torn away from his old Kentucky home. He was sold away from his children and family and from George Shelby, who had been his master, who loved him. He'd fallen into the merciless hands of Simon Legree, the wicked slave trader. And now Uncle Tom is dying. His old shoulders, big shoulders, are heaving. He's trying to get breath. And through the night, other slaves crept in to bathe his wounds and to kneel and pray beside Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom is gasping for breath and trying to live when somebody told George Shelby, his old master, of the condition of Uncle Tom. George Shelby crept into the place where Uncle Tom was dying. And when morning came, his old master, George Shelby, came to redeem him. And he said to Uncle Tom, he said, "Uncle Tom, you shan't die. You mustn't die, nor even think of it. I've come to buy you and to take you home." Uncle Tom looked up at him and said, "Master George, you're too late. The Lord has already done bought me." He said, "The Lord has already done bought me." And he said, "He's coming now to take me home, and I long to go." He said, "Even heaven is better than my old Kentucky home." He heaves and breathes heavily, and then he murmurs, Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God?" And is taken to the presence of the God who loves him. George Shelby said he never got away from it. He said he went alone. And he saw a man prove that nothing, life or death, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, tribulation. What does that mean? That means sickness. A little fetters boy in our church that has Hodgkin's disease. And his dear parents, I have some good news for you. Nothing can separate, not any disease can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mrs. Evans, that little cancer they found in your body cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, no, no affliction, no heart murmur, no leukemia, no Hodgkin's disease. Paul said, tribulation, and that means sickness, means affliction. That little wheelchair that my dear little friend back there has had surgeries in, deaf, and now had surgery, serious surgery on her leg, I think. And one of my good buddies. And that wheelchair cannot separate you from the love of God. Those ears that cannot hear, deaf department, cannot separate you from the love of God. Those eyes that cannot see back in the back, they cannot, that blindness cannot separate you from the love of God. It was Fanny Crosby herself, who was blind all her life, who wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And the fact that you're not, that you're educable, slow, dear pathfinders, cannot separate you from the love of God. Paul said, "I've got this eye disease," but he said, "No affliction, no disease can separate me from the love of God." The word, then he says, distress. That word distress means needs, poverty, recession, unemployment. Listen to me for a minute. Hear me carefully. A lot of you are having a tough time financially. I have literally this week wept tears, hundreds and thousands of them, as I thought about some of the needs of our people. Oh, I wish I had enough money to hire everybody. I wish I had enough money to give that man confidence again. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've got a job, you better be thanking God for it today. But I'm sure that you say, "Brother Hyle, I've beat the pavement, and I've beat it, and I've beat it." One man said this week to me, he said, "Brother Hyle, I'm having a hard time financially, and I can't find work." He said, "You don't know this," but he said, "I hang on every word you say." He said, "When you say God will take care of us, I hang on that. I've got to hang on it." I want to remind you of this. in case you can't find work and in case the bills are more than the money. But don't you ever doubt that God loves you. And I want to tell you, just as sure as there's a purpose in the will of, in the life of every single child of God who's in His will and loves Him, there's a purpose in that unemployment today. I'm saying, Paul said, sickness can't do it, and affliction can't do it, and needs can't do it, and poverty can't do it, and recession can't do it. He said, distress cannot separate me from the love of God. Third word he uses is persecution. That means... Because the word means put to flight. Means put to flight. John Bunyan, rotting there in the cell of the Bedford prison. 12 years, I think it was, he stayed in that jail cell because he preached the gospel on the streets. I have a book that I've been reading a little bit about John Bunyan and his life and the life of his family. John Bunyan and his wife had a little blind girl. And that little blind girl went down to the authorities and came to her daddy in jail and said, Daddy, I've got good news for you. They're going to let you out, Daddy, today out of jail. John Bunyan said, What? Daddy, they're going to let you go today. And John Bunyan, she said, she's a little blind girl, said, Daddy, please, Daddy, come home to Mama and us. Come home, Daddy. We need you at home. And John Bunyan said, Well, honey, they're going to let me out. And that little blind girl said, Daddy, they told me that if you'd just promise you would never preach on the streets anymore, they'd let you out of jail now. And John Bunyan looked in the tear-stained, blinded eyes of his own little girl, begging him to come home. And he said, Sweetheart, Daddy wants to come home. But he said, If I get out of jail today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. His little girl said, But please, Daddy, please come home. You know, we live a soft kind of a white glove Christian life these days. Go to the catacombs in Rome. Go down inside there as we've been and done and walk neath the city of Rome and those catacombs where Christians used to hide, down there where folks were buried. Christians would go down in the old subterranean graveyard, and by the bones of the dead people that build, have little chapels, and then sing the songs of God and teach and preach the Word of God. I'm saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you one thing that won't happen. God never will quit loving you. He never will. It says famine, and that means hunger. Many a night, my dear sweet mother has put me to bed without a bite to eat all day long. I've seen her walk up and down the streets of the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, knocking on doors, begging for money. I've seen my mother begging for money, and she said, If you let me have a quarter, I promise you I won't eat a thing but for myself. But my boy is hungry, and my boy needs. I've seen my mother put me to bed night after night after night on an empty stomach and put me to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no food in the cupboard and no wood for the stove. And she'd put the cover around me, what we had, an old quilt that she made herself out of remnants. I've seen her tuck me to bed, and she says, Son, I know you're hungry, but God loves you. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. And this is my message this morning. It shall forevermore endure. The saints, an angel song. And nakedness, it says. That word nakedness means poor, tattered clothing. That can't separate you from the love of God. I want to tell you this morning. I mentioned last Wednesday night when I had to tell a wealthy man, you're no more welcome in this church than the poorest kid, the poorest bum that stumbles on the streets. I want to tell you, God doesn't see what you're dressed in this morning. God loves you folks that had to get handed down clothes this week. And God loves you as much as He loves those that have a new dress or a new suit on today. Paul said, tribulation, sickness, affliction, needs, poverty, recession, depression, unemployment, slavery, imprisonment, hunger, poor clothing. And then
the next word is peril. And that word peril in the Greek is where it means to be held captive, to be imprisoned. Paul and Silas were in prison at midnight. What'd they do? Sang praises to God. God opened the prison doors. Yes, an earthquake opened the prison doors. And Paul went out with the prison door under one arm and the jailer under the other arm, who just trusted Christ as Savior, and went out and ate with him and got his family all saved too. And Paul says sword. That word sword means the government can't do it. They can put you in jail, Brother Sullivan. They can put you in jail because you won't bow down and let the Caesars run your Christian school for you. They can lock you, padlock your church, and they can padlock the door of the cell, but they cannot padlock God's love for you. No way. No way. No way. They can put you in jail, Brother Lester. They can put you there in the same jail cell where you've stood and preached to those men through the years in Corpus Christi, Texas. They can put you there as a common criminal because of the crime you've committed is you want to help little boys and girls and young people be clean and pure. You want to do what the government tries to do and can't. You want to do what the welfare department tries to do and can't. You're giving your life for others. They put you in jail because you live for others, Brother Lester. But they cannot do a thing to you now. You're beyond their grasp today. You're bathing in the sunshine of the face of the God that loves you. Paul said tribulation can't do it, and distress can't do it, and persecution can't do it, and nakedness can't do it, and poverty can't do it, and slavery can't do it, and imprisonment can't do it, and the government can't do it, and rulers can't do it. Old devil, you may take my coat, and you may take my house, and you may take my money, and you may take my friends, and you may take my family, and you may take my jewels, and you may take my possessions. But old sweaty face, there's one thing you can't touch, and that's the greatest jewel in the coffer of God's grace. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And these messages that I've been preaching for four Sunday mornings, I want you in the summertime of 1983, I want you to bathe yourself and baptize yourself in the marvelous, indescribable love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay! In all these things, what things? Nakedness, what things? Peril, what things? Enslavement, what things? Imprisonment, in all these things, we are unconquerable through Him that loved us. I'm persuaded that life or death, or angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, all things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father,